Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante along with Jeff Byers. Jeff, we're here to talk Penn State football, and we're here to talk Penn State 51, Maryland 15. Boy, a lot different tone to our conversation today than the last couple weeks, I imagine.
Well, Jim, it's so funny because I'm watching across college football yesterday, and I think we talk about this often, but maybe not often enough, in that each week really is a season unto itself. And I know we say that, but examples of that galore yesterday, and obviously Penn State did a terrific job in its one-game season yesterday. But, you know, you look at that Indiana game and everybody's like, oh, man, what is going on? Penn State doesn't look good. And I'm not here to tell you that they did look great in that game or even real good. But I did notice what Indiana did yesterday against a Wisconsin team that is contending for the West Division title. And again, you just look across college football and the number of upsets and the number of games that are much closer than you're expecting. I just think at the end of the day, yes, I come away feeling much, much better about this Penn State team heading into the Michigan game. I think yesterday's game, from my perspective, Jim, pretty much every check mark I could have had to, hey, what I want to see for this team to be ready for Michigan, I want to see, we saw. I wanted to see somebody other than Keandre Lambert-Smith step up and be a go-to receiver, not just the tight ends, although I wanted to see the tight ends more involved. I wanted to see Bo Prabula more involved. I wanted to see the defense continue to create turnovers and create opportunities. I mean, check, 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 check. I mean, this team, it feels like, did absolutely everything it could to put itself into position now to at least have some momentum, some confidence, and I think a legitimate good feeling about its prospects against Michigan. You know, we'll see how that game goes, but I think Penn State did absolutely everything it needed to do, it could have done, in that Maryland game to get itself ready for the Wolverines.
I agree with you, Jeff. However, the one thing you brought up a little bit, the national picture and how other teams have been close. There's some upsets, some close to upsets. I feel like the national attitude towards Penn State took a major hit in the Penn State-Ohio State game. And I think that was a little unfair. I know the offense looked really bad. They did. But with everything going wrong, they lost by one score to the number one team in the country on the road. Again, they were bad on offense. We all agree. But I think the national narrative, and then you add in the close game with Indiana the following week, the national picture on Penn State, to add to that, just to my point, I caught the Athletic, I think it's Nicole Arbach, does a top 10 very quickly on Sundays after the Saturday's games, and she does not have Penn State in the top 10, and she has Oklahoma State with two losses ahead of Penn State, a team with one loss, and like I said, that only loss to Ohio State. And, you know, just to bring this point to a conclusion, the point spread against Maryland, it started double digits, like 10 or 11 points or 10 and a half. And the betting public bet that down to only 8 points. Jeff, when I placed my wager, I only had to give 8 points, which I thought was a steal. But I think that's a reflection of the national thoughts about Penn State right now.
Yeah, and I actually kind of like that too for Penn State going into this Michigan game, because I do think Penn State is suddenly under the radar. And the thing that I liked the most, and there were a lot of things I liked about Saturday's performance, but Drew Aller really did look like that five-star prospect to me, Jim. It wasn't just that he was completing passes. We've seen him do that throughout many games during the season. It was the way he threw the ball in tight windows. It was taking what I would call calculated risks, as we talked about last week, making them pay off. Obviously, having Dante Cephas step up and make some big time catches also helped, and I think is a big part of the equation. I think getting Drew Aller, as you've been talking about all season long, Jim, he can actually keep the ball on those read options. I mean, all of that stuff that we've been wanting to see going down the middle of the field, everything that we've talked about, wanting to see, we saw in that Maryland game. But to me, the biggest thing is, I do think, to me, I don't know if you'd call it a breakout game, but to me, it was Drew Aller turning a corner. And I think the coaches also saying, listen, Drew Aller is not just a guy that isn't going to lose us games. This is now a guy that can go out and win football games for us. And that's what it seemed like, at least to me. As I watched that game, it felt like the either the coaches or Aller himself are now trusting Drew Aller enough that it's like, hey, it doesn't have to be a wide open receiver for you to throw the ball. Go ahead and do what you do. And I'm telling you, some of the passes he made yesterday or on Saturday, Jim, were just right on the money. And really, really impressive throws. I mean, throws that not a whole lot of guys can make at this level of football.
I agree. And some of it, it's not just that he has that big, strong arm that he could thread a needle with it. A couple of those passes into the end zone, and there was the one to the left corner of the end zone where the color analyst pointed it out. Watch the ball, watch the spiral, watch the loft on it, and how the point then comes down. It's that's dropping it into the bucket, Jeff.
Yeah. No, and he's, I mean, and we've seen that, you know, throughout the season. I mean, I think you kind of know that he has the full arsenal at his disposal in terms of the way he can throw the ball. It's just that we saw it consistently, and all of those different throws were on display in the game. And as frustrating as I thought it was with his mechanics in the Ohio State game, you go back and watch that game yesterday. I mean, it's truly amazing. I don't know if you just watched those two games, I don't know that you would believe that that's the same quarterback in terms of the way he was stepping in, delivering the football, stepping up in the pocket. I mean, it was like he was just on top of and aware of everything and really was dialed in. I mean, he just made the right decisions, the right throws in just about every spot throughout the course of the game. I also thought the offensive line probably played its best overall game. I'm not ready to sit here and anoint it one of the all-time great offensive lines, but I did think you saw a lot of good things from the O-line as well. And again, to me, Penn State ought to be going into this Michigan game now with a ton of confidence. And, you know, the fact that that game's at Beaver Stadium, again, I think Michigan is really, really good and is one of the greatest teams in the country this season. But I'm not sure Penn State, if it plays that brand of football that we saw against Maryland on Saturday, isn't also one of those teams.
I think so, too. And this offense, Jeff, what we saw, you could talk about, we haven't seen this from Cephas until this game, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But everything else that we saw was not, I don't think, anyone playing over their head. This was actually the level of expectation from these players. And I think the only negative on the off, Nick Singleton from scrimmage did not have a great game. We still haven't seen that from him yet. But I don't think anybody else did anything that was beyond their normal capabilities.
No, I agree with you. And yeah, and Singleton, it'll be interesting to see kind of what Penn State does in terms of its approach with Singleton and Allen in this Michigan game, because I do think Allen is, more of that grinded out guy. And I think against Michigan, you're going to need some of that. But I think Singleton, again, still is that home run threat, even though you haven't seen it on display this season. So, I think you'll see, obviously, the playing time continue to be split fairly evenly between those two. But I'm with you. I just thought Penn State, I don't think it played over its head in any way, but I think you just saw kind of everything clicking the way we've been waiting for it to click all season long. And I know a lot of people were saying, I think we had the discussion last week, Jim, that this is just what this Penn State offense is. And, I no guarantees here for me or anything, but I'm like, no, I don't. I think this offense can be more. And I think you at least started to see what it can be. And again, what many of us thought it would be from the start this season. Now, can you go out and do that against, and I don't mean put up 51 points, but I mean have that type of execution against a defense as good as Michigan's? That's what we're going to find out here on Saturday.
And Jeff, to have, again, that type of offense doesn't mean 51 points, but it means willing to take those shots. And as you said, Drew Aller was throwing balls to guys who were not wide open. He wasn't just chucking it around, but they weren't wide open.
Yeah, and his receivers made plays for him, which is, again, part of the equation too. And listen, even with that, and I don't have the stats right in front of me, but I think it was, 25 of 34, if I'm remembering right, in that neighborhood.
Yes, and, exactly.
Okay, and then and that was with a few drops. I mean, Tyler Warren, who has been probably the most consistent receiver all season, I think had a couple of balls that he'd tell you he should have had. So, I mean, those numbers are impressive, but they could have been even better. And I do think, that's the first time that Drew Aller put up those kinds of numbers on the road. And I think, again, just from a confidence standpoint, now coming back to Beaver Stadium where Aller has been more consistently successful, I think bodes well here for the matchup against Michigan.
All right, Jeff, that is it for quarter number one. We'll pick up this conversation when we come back. Stay tuned.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking Penn State 51, Maryland 15. So many good things. We're going to stick with the offense for a little bit longer, Jeff, before we hit that defense. Let's talk about some of those aspects, though, that were so encouraging. One of the biggest has to be Dante Cephas, who not only made an appearance, not only made what was a 5 or 6 catches, but he made a couple special catches.
Yeah, and I think I'm trying to think when it was, Jim. It's been several weeks ago now that James Franklin was talking about Cephas and just how it is an adjustment when you get into a new system, and it's a matter of just kind of getting that confidence and feeling. He said it's not a matter of Cephas not having the ability, but, and I'm paraphrasing, but he just needed to get comfortable with the Penn State system and what, everybody is doing and how it all works. And it's just one of those things, Jim, I know fans sometimes get frustrated when everything doesn't just come together right away. And it's like, well, we heard all those great things about Cephas, and it doesn't always click at the same time for everybody within a given system or just in the college ranks. It's more of an adjustment for some people. It's, sometimes, again, it's just a matter of confidence and really feeling like you belong. And I just thought Saturday Cephas looked like, yep, this is, I'm a big part of the offense and this is where I belong. And it is the first time this season that we've really seen that. And I think, you know, I'm not sure where we're at with Trey Wallace right now, but, you know, ideally if Wallace is back for Michigan, I mean, that gives you, I think, three guys now that you're really comfortable with, confident in, if you're Drew Aller at the receiver position, and then you throw in the two tight ends, the running backs, and again, I think you've just got a real nice mix. And even without Wallace, again, I think this team now has enough firepower. And again, I still think they need to work on getting separation against, you know, elite teams like Michigan's defense certainly is. But what encouraged me Saturday again is Drew Aller, even if the receiver isn't wide open, man, you put the ball on the money and let these guys go out and make some plays for you. And I thought for the most part, you know, Penn State certainly did that. Aller did that as consistently as we've seen him do it all season.
And with Dante Cephas, I think part of that confidence level for him has to be the fact that Harrison Wallace was definitely out for this game. Because of that, Cephas, you're going to play and you're going to play every down. It probably meant he got first team reps the entire week. And you just know that whatever mistake you make on an individual play, you're still going to be back out there. Yeah. And he was out there every play. And he had a quarterback who was willing to say, hey, go make a play for me. And that first touchdown in the right corner of the end zone where he brought it in with one hand, that, and, you know, watching it live, it was, hey, he made a great play even though he was out of bounds. And as soon as I saw the replay, it's like, I don't care how they rule this, he just made a very special play.
No question. And listen, I think that's the type of thing, again, when I look at this Maryland game, to me, it was all about trying to get everything clicking as much as possible going into the Michigan game, trying to, you know, gain a real good rhythm offensively and some confidence. And, you know, you make a play like that, Jim, and you can't help but go back to the sideline feeling good about yourself. And, hey, I can do some really big things. And I just, I just think it was a very, very encouraging performance the whole way around. And I don't think you could have drawn up a better performance all around for this team going into the Michigan game. I just think they did everything that they needed to give themselves, and I think the fans, reason to believe that, yeah, you know what? We go out and play our best football. We can hang with anybody, and that certainly includes Michigan, especially at Beaver Stadium.
And, you know, going back to just this Maryland game and some of the things you mentioned early on in quarter number one, you mentioned one of my pet peeves was Drew Aller actually running the ball. Now, they look like a couple of planned plays for him, and it wasn't necessarily even him pulling the ball on the read option, but they got him involved. I think he had, 39 yards rushing. He had a 20-yard rush. That was nice to see. The other pet peeve of Jim's is throwing the ball on first down. And I think it does a couple things. I think it's a little easier to throw on first down, especially against this Penn State team. The defense is thinking run, obviously. It creates some confidence. It gives you the ability, I think, if you throw the ball on first down, it'll open up some things for the running game. And just the quick numbers, according to me, my stats, and looking it over, Jeff, Drew Aller was 11 for 16 for 90 yards and 2 touchdowns throwing the ball on first down. If only someone would have thought to do this weeks ago.
Yep, that's pretty good stuff. And you know, I'm not going to dwell on it, Jim, but I will say there were several times during the game yesterday where I'm like, yes, oh man, that was good. Hey, where was this 2 weeks ago? This is exactly what we were looking for against Ohio State. You saved it for Maryland. What are you doing? So listen, I mean, I do want to give praise because it was a terrific performance. I think it was a great game plan, well executed, everything else. But yes, there is a part of me that's like, why in the world is Maryland the game where we're seeing all of this? This, I mean, this really is the type of stuff that I thought we would see against Ohio State. And it still is perplexing to me why you left this stuff in the holster against Ohio State. But I'm trying to let bygones be bygones, and I understand the significance of the remainder of the season, and we shouldn't dwell on the past. But seriously, why didn't you do this against Ohio State?
Come on, Jeff. What you were really thinking was, why in the world don't they listen to Jim? He had the right idea.
Well, yeah, to both of us. We both had the right recipe. You could have beaten the Buckeyes. Just pay attention.
Now, some people might point out some of those completions that may have been essentially padding the stats. Like the three of the first five completions on first down were for 1 yard. And I get that. But I think you need to understand what that opens up for the rest of the game, Jeff.
Well, yes. And I also think those three in particular were not plays that were designed to go there. And I do think on first down, and this is part of what frustration is too strong of a word, but it was part of what I wanted to see from this offense is go. I think those plays that they had designs to go downfield. Listen, if it's not there on first down, yes, by all means, check down, take a yard, go ahead and throw an incompletion, throw it away. It's first down. But yes, you're keeping the defense now a little more honest. They know they can't just, you know, bring everybody up in the box and try to stop the run. They've got to play the pass here as a real possibility on first down. And yeah, I mean, if it's there, take your shot. But yeah, if the defense is prepared for it and everybody's covered, yes, it's first down. Go ahead and take the check down. You have two more plays to work with. And when you have Drew Aller operating the way he was on Saturday and the offensive line getting things going the way it was on Saturday, yeah, you take your chances on being able to get 10 yards or 8 or 9 yards over the next two plays. I'm fine with that. It's when you know, are checking down on the 3rd and 10 that I have a problem with, because then you're just playing field position. And again, that may work, and it did work against the West Virginias and, you know, obviously the Delawares and the UMasses of the world, but that is not going to win you a game against an Ohio State or a Michigan.
Well, and the other part to it, Jeff, and you're, when they're doing those little wide receiver screen or tight end screen, they're very safe. And what it also does is, to your point about opening up other things, is it stretches the defense horizontally along with vertically.
Yeah, for sure. And I think they did a lot of things to keep Maryland's defense off balance. And again, no matter who you're playing, I think if you have the defense trying to guess what's coming next, that works to your advantage, obviously. And I think, you know, again, there were so many things I liked, but I loved, one of the things I've been calling for is getting Bo Pabrula in earlier and involved in different ways. I'm not sure the play that went for the touchdown on the shovel pass to Johnson was exactly what I was envisioning or the way they drew it up. But listen, at the end of the day, it worked, and it does, again, present just a different challenge for defenses to think about, and you're having to pay attention to a lot of different personnel and a lot of different directions that that football can go. And again, to me, that is all a big benefit for Penn State as it moves forward here.
And I think it would have been more effective except for the turf monster tackling Bo a couple times.
Yes. I think some of that stuff, here was the other thing. I mean, that stuff just happens. The other thing, Jim, even with like the, roughing the punter that kept the one drive alive. And this is just me now. And I don't want penalties, period. But if you're going to have penalties, I'll take the penalties on the over-aggressiveness, on trying to create plays and opportunities. I'll take that much more over the, just what I'll call stupid penalties where, again, you're just costing yourself 5 or 10 yards and you weren't really going to be able to make anything happen anyway. I'm okay with occasionally trying to get a blocked punt you miss, you hit, and I get it led to 7 points. And again, I don't want it to be a regular feature, but I'd much rather the over-aggressive penalties than any other kind.
I need to ask you a question about that. That is how we're going to start quarter number three when we get back, Jeff. Stay tuned.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State's big win on the road against Maryland. And Jeff, we're talking about a couple of the penalties that went on. First, I want to ask you about the missed block punt, I'll call it, and the penalty running into the kicker. And our colleague Andy, he and I, as our listeners know, we text each other during these games. He was like, how in the world could they go after the quarterback? It's 3rd and 20. Your offense is working. The defense is working. How could you risk giving them second life? I kind of get where the angle he's coming from, but I don't know if it's they saw something with Maryland's punting unit. Liam Clifford looked like he came in free. My question to you, Jeff, is how could he not get a hand or another body part on the ball?
Yeah, it is amazing that the ball found its way through. It really is. I mean, he was in perfect position, and I don't really know how it went through. And again, this is just me, and I tend to want, especially in the sport of football, I want my teams to be aggressive, and I'm just much more willing to live with mistakes from again, over-aggressiveness than I am from, he just sat back and took it. And I think, that was it's a fair point as far as, just take the ball. You're kind of in control of the game. But I also think it was, had they gotten the block there, right, it's a chance to really kind of almost put the game away in the second quarter. And so, I don't know. I'm okay with the decision. And again, I think every game is a little different. I'm with you. I do think there was something there that they picked up on, and it worked. I mean, it worked, except that somehow the ball got through, which is just amazing. So, again, do I necessarily want to see it against Michigan? No, I certainly don't want to see a drive kept alive by it against Michigan, but I just think it's much easier in football to take guys that are over aggressive and pull them back a little bit than it is to take guys who aren't aggressive enough and try to get them to be more aggressive. And I'd much rather, again, have that aggressive mentality. It's what I've been pleading for with the offense, really all season long. And Saturday is exactly what I wanted to see. It was an aggressive mentality. And I just think they have that across the board against Maryland, and they're going to need it against Michigan and just moving forward. I think that, any team that's going to get to the playoffs or beyond, that you start with, you've got to have an aggressive, go for it now mentality.
And Jeff, I understand Andy's point. It's 3rd and 20. You're going to get the ball. The offense is playing well. The defense, the only way Maryland's going to score is if you make a mistake. And you have that potential, but you can't just say, okay, we're never going to go after the punter, especially if you see something. Everything was done correctly. There's no way in the world that punt should have gotten off without the ball at least being touched. Before we really go full force over to the defense, one last note on the offense, and that's about the running game. Catron Allen, a nice game. 14 rushes, 91 yards, averaging over 6 yards a carry. But the two things to make note of is typically where Catron Allen and Nick Singleton very balanced how many carries. Allen had 14 carries. Singleton only had 8. And he struggled again. 8 carries, 20 yards. If I know my math correctly, that's 2.5 yards a carry. What's going on there, Jeff?
Yeah, I don't know. There was one play in particular, I'm trying to think, I think it was in that second quarter also, where it looked to me, and I didn't go back and rewatch it or anything, so I'm not 100% sure I'm right, but where I think he was trying too hard to make something happen, and he kind of reversed field a little bit instead of just hit the hole and, again, take the 2, 3, 4 yards that are there. Now, I don't think that's been a consistent thing with him, where I think he was trying to create something bigger. And by the way, I'm okay with that. I'm not saying a running back should never do that. I don't want it being done every play, and Nicholas Singleton has not been doing that often this season. But there was one of those carries, I think, if he had to do it over again, it's like, yeah, just plow in there and take what's available. I don't know, Jim, if it's just that Maryland was, more keyed in on him. I will say Catron Allen did a terrific job of breaking tackles and just keeping the leg drive going on Saturday against Maryland. He got, I don't know how many of the yards were after contact, but it was a lot for Catron Allen on Saturday. And listen, we saw with the kickoff return, I mean, Nicholas Singleton is a dangerous football player. And it's not like opponents can just go to sleep when he's out on the field, because he still is a guy that if you give him that crease, he can be a game breaker. I don't know exactly what happened on Saturday, if it was just, a feel for the game with the way Allen was carrying the ball. And for whatever reason, again, Maryland was doing a good job of reading when it was a run with Singleton, because it did seem like Maryland was hitting Singleton at the line of scrimmage just about every time he touched the ball. So, again, that's we're 9 games in. I'm not going to say it's not a concern, not an issue, but I just think it's something you keep working through, and you just trust that at the end of the day, his talent is going to shine through and get you there. That being said, I do think, I thought before the Maryland game that Catron Allen would be the guy that would get more carries against Michigan. I just think, again, this is a game where grinding out 2 or 3 yards on a particular play can be a big deal against Michigan, and getting yourself into a 3rd and 4 situation instead of a 3rd and 9 is, again, to me, going to be very important against Michigan in terms of trying to keep drives alive. And Obviously, you want to put points on the board, but if nothing else, you want to be able to get a couple of first downs with each possession and try to, you know, at least keep the field possession component in your favor here on Saturday.
You know, the running game can be pretty sophisticated with blocking concepts. It's difficult for the layperson to understand all of that. I'm wondering if there's some things that the coaching staff could do to try to open things up for the home run type play for Singleton.
Yeah. One of those things I really do think, Jim, is getting Bo Pribula in there. And again, one of the many things I liked on Saturday was, again, being a little creative with getting him in there. And I think having an additional threat in there to run the football, and listen, it could be Aller, as we saw this past Saturday. It doesn't have to be Pribula, but you've got to have – it can't be just the running back, and that's all you're worried about on defense in terms of stopping the run, that if, hey, we just key on the running back, if it's a running play, we know we're going to make the stop. There's got to be, again, just a little more nuance. And again, we saw it Saturday against Maryland. That's what I think Penn State has been kind of missing. And I think even though Singleton's numbers weren't helped on Saturday, I do think that's going to be a big component for this offense to get where it needs to be if this team is to make a run toward the Big Ten championship or a playoff appearance.
And there was a game over the weekend, and I can't recall who it was. I want to say USC, but I don't. It was probably somebody else. But there was a 3rd-and-1 or 4th-and-1. It looked like an obvious, like, quarterback sneak type play or run it up the middle kind of play. And they ended up just a simple little pitch to the running back where he got outside, and he goes 60 yards for a touchdown. And that, I know that's oversimplifying it, where it's an obvious, hey, we think you're going to run up the middle and you get a quick running back outside. But that's what I'm talking about as far as perhaps scheming for Singleton in a way that would help him break one. Jeff, we always do this. We give short shrift to the defense. We spend most of our time talking offense because there's so much to talk about, whether it's good or bad. But let's shift gears to the defense before we even hit quarter number 4, and I'm going to hit it from the first negative sense. It was penalties that helped Maryland on both their touchdowns. Yeah. I don't think Maryland scored. It's those mistakes, the obvious one being the roughing the punter when it was, I believe, 3rd-and-20, and the other touchdown drive was also helped by penalties.
Yeah, and listen, I think you know that is important in a game like Michigan that can obviously be the difference in the outcome of the game. That being said, I really do like the way this defense is playing. I thought, you know, they rebounded from some of the concerns against Indiana. And again, the penalty stuff, it hasn't been a recurring theme all season long in terms of keeping drives alive and leading to points. So I'm going to chalk it up as well. And again, the roughing the punter one, I don't have as big a problem with it in the overall scheme of things. And again, hopefully, you know, lesson learned, take a different angle maybe in that situation against Michigan. You're not going for broke there. Hopefully Penn State's in a position where it's up 14-0 and having to make the decision about whether or not it's going to go after a blocked punt here on Michigan's needing 20 yards for a first down. That'd be a pretty nice scenario for Penn State to learn from. But listen, I think this defense is playing at a really high level. And I just, the one thing that I think if you're a Penn State fan, you would love to see is Penn State get that early lead against Michigan. You know, one of the things that helped the defense certainly Saturday was, you knew Maryland was going to be throwing the ball, and obviously they got home a whole lot. It is much easier if you know the other team is throwing the ball to be able to do that.
Very good, Jeff. All right. We will devote our entire fourth quarter to talking about this defense. Stay tuned for that.
Hey, guys. This is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's the fourth quarter. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're finishing up our conversation about Penn State, Maryland. We're talking mostly about that offense. Let's shift gears. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. And before we go just hardcore into the defense, we were talking about penalties at the end of the third quarter. I think this is one of those things, though, that it exemplified the domination that Penn State had probably on both sides of the ball. They only punted twice, and one of those was in the first half, and that was after the Caden Wallace, hands to the face, what it was, but you ended up, you know, behind the sticks, first and 20 or first and 25, and, you know, you gave Maryland new life with the roughing the kicker. Then in the other Maryland touchdown, it was multiple penalties on that drive. So I'm sure it's going to be one of those things they'll be talking about in practice this week. The last point on the penalties, if you're going to have a guy with a free run at the kicker, the way Penn State did with Liam Clifford against Maryland, if you have that same opportunity against Michigan, go do it, okay? Do not hold back. A play like that, a block kick, would be so huge in that game. But anyway, let's get to this game. Starting with the statistics for running the ball, Maryland's top rusher was the backup quarterback who on the last play of the game ran the ball, Jeff, for 4 yards. Now, I know oftentimes it's a case where, all right, there's enough negative yardage plays that turns a running back, say, into they ran for minus one. But what I think is significant is look for the long run for Roman Hemby, who I think is their top running back, had 5 carries for 0 yards with a long of 1 yard. Talia, the quarterback, again, his sacks count against rushing, so he hit rush for minus 47 yards, but his long run was for 2 yards, Jeff. So it wasn't just, okay, the sacks changed the numbers. Forget the sacks. The running backs ran for a total of like 1 yard. Those are incredible numbers.
They are, and I think what you're seeing with Maryland, Jim, is that they are they're kind of where Penn State was to some degree earlier in the James Franklin era, where they do have good skill position players, but they are not where they need to be up front to contend consistently with the Penn States and the Ohio States of the world. And you know what's amazing watching that Maryland team, Jim, is you know again they were 5-0. And toe-to-toe with Ohio State at halftime of that game. And I think this is a team that is, I know this is a team that is in real danger of not making a bowl game this season. And, I mean, it is very much within the realm of possibility that they could finish 5-7. And after jumping out to a 5-0 start, and again, being right there with Ohio State through 30 minutes, end up 5-7 and on a 7-game losing skid. And I really think it starts up front. They just are struggling mightily. Now, obviously, part of that is Penn State played really, really well. I will say I thought that was the best game, certainly the biggest impact that Abdul Carter has had this season. He's been kind of you know, relatively quiet for an All-American linebacker, but you know, his presence was felt on Saturday. And I also think Penn State did a nice job of rotating through again with the defensive line. I mean, that's nothing new, but you know, we were kind of wondering after the Indiana game, man, with Chop Robinson out, you know, is this defense just different? Well, again, now it was Maryland, not Michigan. I get it. But man, that D-line stepped up in a big, big way against the Terrapins. And, you know, Adisa Isaac just was a phenom in the Terrapins game. So, again, all good stuff from Penn State's perspective. And again, this defense, the thing I continue to love the most about it, Jim, is just the versatility that they have. You saw, I mean, Johnny Dixon has been in how many blitzes this year where he's made an impact with tackles for a loss. And I just think overall, you're looking at a defensive unit, again, that can do a bunch of different things. They have defensive ends that are good enough, you can drop them into coverage. They have cornerbacks that are good enough, you can bring them on blitz packages. And so I do think this defense gives offenses a whole lot of things that you have to worry about. We talk all the time about Penn State's offense needing to put stuff on film for defenses to have to prepare for. I think this defense makes offenses have to work also to try to figure out, okay, what can we do to try to match some of the schemes that Penn State is creatively coming up with. And again, they're just so athletic at all three levels that I think Manny Diaz obviously is a great mind, but I also think he has to be kind of pinching himself that he has this type of talent to work with and to be able to do the different things he can do schematically. And I think that's going to be one of the real fun matchups against Michigan, is watching this defense match up against J.J. McCarthy and that Michigan running game. And, you know, the chess game is going to be as about as fascinating as the actual physical matchup here.
And Maryland is not without talent, as you pointed out. They were going toe-to-toe with Ohio State for more than a half. People will point out, oh, it was 10-10 at halftime. Maryland, I believe, scored first in the second half and had a 17-10 lead in Columbus against Ohio State. Then what happened in that game, my comment after that game was, well, Ohio State is going to Ohio State and Maryland is going to Maryland. And we saw this again. When things don't go well for Maryland, you know, that's why Penn State at the end put up 27 points in the fourth quarter and ended up blowing them out the same way Ohio State did to them in that game. So that's what we're going to see. But again, to think Maryland has no talent is just wrong. And you saw this quarterback has skills. Complete what? His first 17 passes? The amazing thing is, you know, 17 passes, but they didn't can't get into the end zone, though, which tells you about this Penn State defense, Jeff.
Yeah, and I think that, to me, Jim, is going to be one of the fascinating storylines looking ahead to the Michigan game is, you know, J.J. McCarthy has been really, really good this season for Michigan, but he's been playing ahead in every game. He's had a running game that's been really effective in every game. You know, can Penn State, and you know, I'm not sitting here telling you definitively, Penn State will take the running game away from Michigan and McCarthy's going to be under pressure all day, but can Penn State slow that running game down? Can they make it a game where J.J. McCarthy under pressure has to deliver? And I'm not saying J.J. McCarthy can't deliver in those situations, but we just haven't seen it. Michigan has not been tested this season. They've gone through nine games without facing a top 25 team. And now, you know, their season, we talk about Penn State's boiling down to, you know, really Ohio State and Michigan. I think Michigan's season, obviously now it's a three-game season, but I think these will be three of the biggest tests. Certainly two of the three will be the biggest tests Michigan will face all season, traveling to Penn State, which is not an easy task for your first road game, top 25 team that you're facing on the season, to face them on the road and a defense like Penn State's. And then obviously you have Maryland before the Ohio State game. So, you know, we'll see. I'm not saying Michigan's in a world of trouble here, but much like Penn State fans were rightfully pointing out, listen, Ohio State's been better tested going into that Ohio State-Penn State game because they had pulled out the win at Notre Dame, which that game's looking less impressive by the week. They had that test under their belt. Michigan has no test under its belt. I mean, Penn State has, you know, had the Ohio State game to learn from, I think has, learned some things from some other good wins as well. And I think Penn State is better positioned if it can keep this game close at Beaver Stadium to find a way to win it late on Saturday.
Well, and you hit it about stopping the running game. I like the way James Franklin puts it. The defense has to earn the right to put teams in that third and long position where Penn State can do those creative things to help them get to the quarterback like they did against Maryland with six sacks.
Yeah, and the middle of that defensive line, Jim, again, and the middle of the offensive line, until this program or this team does it against Michigan, right? And they could have done it against Ohio State. They didn't, so maybe even more concern now. But you need to see it. I'm not going to sit here and make any grandiose predictions one way or the other. But, I mean, that has to happen. For Penn State to win this game, they've got to at least hold even over the course of four quarters and go toe-to-toe with Michigan. And to me, that is by far the biggest question going into this game is, can Penn State match up at the line of scrimmage with Michigan for four quarters? And again, that doesn't mean you need to win every battle, every individual battle, every play, but it does mean you need to win some. And you need to win about as many as you lose over the course of four quarters. And, you know, we just haven't seen it. Right? We haven't seen it be close the last couple of years. So whether or not Penn State can make that happen on Saturday, again, to me, is going to go a long way toward determining whether Penn State is, in fact, a contender here for the Big Ten championship and a playoff berth or not.
And I saw enough from this Penn State defense, first of all, throughout the season, but specifically against Ohio State, to say I have confidence in them. It's just you can't have an offense, though, that goes 0 for their first 15 attempts on third down. You can't keep giving a team like Michigan or Ohio State that many opportunities. And yes, what we saw from this Penn State offense against Maryland on the road makes me a lot more comfortable going into this Michigan game, Jeff. All right, that is it for our show. Thank you all for joining us. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.